This morning we turn to the familiar Psalm, Psalm 23. We read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We take verse 4 as our text this morning. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. May God bless His word to our hearts. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the 23rd Psalm teaches the wonderful and comforting care of Jehovah God as our shepherd. Shepherd of us wandering sheep. Jehovah is my shepherd. I shall not want. The idea of want there is lack. With Jehovah as my shepherd, I will not lack anything. Jehovah God leading us tenderly, lovingly, as a faithful shepherd. And all His care, all His love for us as His children and His church, flowing from His free, sovereign grace. His goodness toward us in Jesus Christ. Although we live in the consciousness of the protection of our God, as sheep in the midst of this world, we are subject to all kinds of troubles and all kinds of dangers. We experience severe trials, severe afflictions come our way. We face challenges, challenges in our families, in our homes, in our jobs, in our marriages. God takes from us loved ones, as He did this past week in the death of Jordan. The Psalms express comfort. This Psalm specifically directs us to Jehovah God, our shepherd. And David expresses confidence in the care of his shepherd. This shepherd will preserve me. This shepherd will keep me. This shepherd is faithful. And this shepherd is the one who will also preserve and keep me from death. The reference here to death is striking. The great, last, most formidable enemy that any of us face will be death. And in the face of death, the psalmist says, there's hope. Now the picture that's painted here in this verse is very striking. There are great mountains on the one side, there's a valley that goes between, and then there's great mountains on the other side. And the picture is that of the shepherd leading his sheep from one mountain range through the valley all the way through to the other mountain range. Now the picture for us as God's children is Jehovah God leading us through this life to the glory that awaits. That mountain range symbolizing the glory of heavenly life and all the blessedness and all the bliss where the triumphant saints dwell and live to all eternity with their Savior, Jesus Christ. The only way to that mountain is through the valley. Now this valley is not just something we experience just before we die. This valley is symbolic of the whole of our lives. All of our lives are a passing, a crossing through this valley of the shadow of death. We're in that right now. Life in the valley at times is comfortable. Things go well for us for a while. But dangers, hardships, and trials can so quickly come upon us. And then our life in the midst of the valley is very difficult. Sometimes it seems as though our life in the midst of the valley is all hardship. And as we get older, the words of our baptism form resonate more and more with us. This life is nothing but a continual death. Struggles, trials are more and more our experience until finally God then brings us through that valley to the victory of glory. The sheep, as they pass through the valley, look to their shepherd. And we have a beautiful analogy that we want to unpack here by God's grace. The picture of a shepherd leading his sheep as Jehovah God leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. And we note here the sure support through the valley. Noting first of all the valley, noting secondly the comfort that God gives us, and finally the confession that we as God's sheep by His grace can make. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Notice the change of the psalm here in verse 4. The first three verses, it's like the psalmist is talking to a fellow saint. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down, and so on. The idea that we're talking in the third person. But now in verse 4, it becomes switched. Now the sheep are talking directly to their shepherd. Notice that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So now David, who by the inspiration of God is writing this psalm, is writing more intimately as he speaks now more directly to his shepherd. And as he looks to his shepherd and as he confesses that wondrous bond that Jehovah God has established between him and his shepherd. Now that relationship between us and Jesus Christ is intimate. It's special. It's that which God has ordained for our salvation and for our good. And the relationship between a shepherd and his sheep is a picture of that beautiful relationship. The relationship between a shepherd and his sheep was a very intimate relationship. And that relationship became more intimate because of the difficulties that they faced together. It was common for the shepherd to bring his sheep down from the higher country. As winter would come and fall, the snow would begin to fall on the higher slopes, and therefore the shepherd would have to lead his sheep down into the lower country. And then again in the springtime, they would go more to those areas where the grass was growing and would be able again to go back to those areas that were higher in altitude. But it involved long journeys. And the shepherd, as he would journey then with his flock in pursuit of grass, would take a long journey in which it was just him and his sheep. That's all there were. And as they would make this long journey from mountain to mountain, passing through the valleys, often the snow would be melting then, and they would be preparing to pursue a path that would lead to greener grass. As they would do so, you can imagine the beauty of the surroundings all around them. Mountains on one side, mountains on the other, the beautiful valleys, the meadows in between, but also the dangers, the raging current of the water as the snow is melting from the mountain and rushing down the sides of the mountains. There would be the poisonous plants and poisonous animals that would try to bite them or would even try to devour them. There would be rock slides, avalanches. There would be all kinds of threats that those sheep would face as the shepherd was leading them through those valleys in anticipation of the grass in those meadows. During this time, the flock would develop a very close, intimate relationship with their shepherd. They would lean on their shepherd. They had no one else to whom they could go. And the flock would rely on their shepherd to lead and to guide them. They would be under his personal attention day and night as he cared for them, as he watched over them. Now God raised up David to write this psalm. David was very familiar with this experience. He cared for his father Jesse's sheep. And David often, for days, even months at a time, would be away alone with those sheep, caring for them, watching over them, tending to their needs. David knew what it was to be alone with them. There was no one else around. So that when the lion came to attack his sheep, David had to defend those sheep. And God gave David the strength, as you children remember, to kill the lion, to kill the bear, so that he protected his sheep from those predators. David gives an account of the troubles, the struggles that he faced as he was alone with his sheep, as he was tending his father's flock. He couldn't look to anyone else. There was no one else that could come to his rescue. He was the one responsible for these sheep. And therefore David writes firsthand of the joys, but also the struggles, the challenges that were his, the dangers of his life as a shepherd. David was conscious of the great responsibility he had to lead those sheep to safety, to lead those sheep down a pathway that would enable them to eat and rest. A good shepherd would never lead his sheep into an area that he previously had not gone ahead to check out. And therefore, the shepherd would take opportunity to work ahead, make forays, make sure that the way was clear, make sure that there were no poisonous plants, make sure that there weren't any holes into which the sheep were going to fall, so that he would be prepared continually for the dangers the flock might face, and going ahead to prepare the way for them. The dark valleys with the narrow passageways were especially a threat, as one can imagine. One didn't know what was lurking in the shadows. One didn't know where the wild animals might be hiding, so that as one passed through this narrow pass, it could be that there was a lion or something else waiting on the other side to pounce on the flock. But it was necessary to pass through those valleys. That's where the food was. That's where the water was. That's where the path was that would lead to the next mountain range. And we understand the necessity of the valleys. Many of our roads have been constructed along the rivers, through the valleys, so that the mountain passes are passing along the river, through the valley, in order to get over another mountain range. The valleys were necessary. And if you think about it too, the sheep had to stay in the valleys because that's where the water was. That's where primarily the food was. Now God uses this as a picture of your and my lives. As we live in the midst of this life is portrayed as a valley. A dark valley. A valley that involves disappointments, frustrations, fears, concerns. A valley that involves dark days for us at times, uncertainties with regard to the future. Valleys that involve all kinds of struggles and all kinds of difficulties for God's people. There are the financial struggles as farmers wrestling with low prices, struggling to make ends meet. There's the financial difficulties that we face. There's the troubles that we face within our marriages. Difficulties with our children, challenges with regard to church life at times, and interacting with our siblings and experiencing fellowship one with another. There's health issues that confront us, severe health issues sometimes that create all kinds of pain and all kinds of suffering for us. And even more personally, as we walk through the midst of the valley and as we experience abuse sometimes and depression and despair, there's our own sinfulness. Our own sinfulness rises up against us. And we realize that this whole life is a struggle against sin. I'm a sinner. The devil is constantly tempting me to stray from the path of obedience and to walk in the ways of sin. And I'm doing battle every day against that sinful nature. And every day, I'm failing. And I experience the guilt of it, the sorrow of it, the shame of it. The consequences of those sins rise up against me. And every single day, I'm reminded then of the fact that my sin deserves judgment. I deserve to stand before God in judgment with regard to the sin that I've committed. Most serious, therefore, is the valley of death. As we face the death of loved ones and as they're taken from us, All we have left is memories. Sometimes it's sudden, as it was in this past week. Other times it's slow, gradual, painful, as we watch their mental ability deteriorate, as we watch their bodies being broken down, and we watch the toll that death takes on them month after month, sometimes even for years. And through it all, beloved, we're reminded of our own mortality. Our days are numbered. And we're reminded of the fact that we too will face the judge, and we too must give an account. An account of how we've lived, how we've used our time, how we've conducted ourselves in the midst of this world. How can I stand before the judge of heaven and earth? How can I stand and live? By faith, we cling to God. We cling to the shepherd. By faith, we lay hold upon the wonder of His word and His promise. And death is that painful separation of body and soul. It's the end of our earthly existence. How? How will we face death? But beloved, God ordains all of these dark valleys for our good. We believe that. We read God's word. We hear God's promises. He works everything together for good. Our minds struggle with that. We can't fathom how the experiences that we have been through and the experiences that yet we have to face, how can this be for my good? And yet God ordains these valleys as necessary in order to prepare us for the glory of heaven. We must pass through the valley in order to reach the glory that awaits. We can say a number of things about that. First of all, this is the path that God has ordained. The way to glory is through the valleys. God has ordained that the way to the summit, to the glorious victory, is through the valleys. Secondly, this is the way, beloved, that we're nourished. Not only was this necessary again for the sheep, this was where their nourishment was, where the water was. This is where the grass was. God uses your and my valleys as a means to refresh us, to feed us, to nourish us spiritually. He uses those valleys to teach us lessons spiritually that we could learn in no other way, as He draws us to Himself, as He teaches us how weak we are, and He directs us to the wonder of His grace, His goodness, and His love for us. We can't see sometimes how the spiritual nourishment is coming to us, but God is using these valleys for our spiritual good. And finally, we who have been through those valleys are able and equipped better to comfort others. God using all of our experiences for the good of the body. And as the elders have been bringing from house to house, 1 Corinthians 12, we're reminded of the care of the body one for another. And as God leads me, as He leads you through the valleys of life, through the different challenges and struggles, He equips us in order to comfort others in ways that others who haven't experienced it are not able to do. We think of 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. What is the comfort that we look at this morning? The comfort that we note here in our text is that reference to the shadow of death. Notice that reference, the shadow of death. A shadow is not real. A shadow can't hurt you. A shadow of a mean dog can't bite you. A shadow of a gun can't shoot you. Now we know that what's behind the shadow might be able to hurt us, but the shadow itself is harmless. And that's the reference here. Secondly, note this. Where there's a shadow, of necessity, there has to be light. You can't have a shadow without light. Even your children know that. If it's cloudy outside, there's not going to be a shadow. But if there's light shining, there's going to be a shadow. In the midst of the valley of life, God's everlasting light shines upon His children. And as that light shines upon His children, it exposes death for what it is. Death is but a shadow. Now what does that mean? The reality of death is the horror of God's wrath upon the wicked. The reality of death is this: the soul that sins, that soul must die. And the reality of death then is God's judgment upon every sinner that requires that sinner to be cast into everlasting judgment in hell. Jesus Christ stood in your and my place. And Jesus Christ took upon Himself the reality of death for every last one of His children whom He represented. He stood in the midst of death Himself, and He took upon Himself the burden of that death. He took upon Himself that which we deserve, everlasting hell. He took the reality upon Himself, and He paid fully for every sin that you have ever committed or ever will commit. Jesus Christ knew what death was. As He stood before the reality of death, you remember the prayers that He uttered. Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. He knew the horror of the reality of death, the cup before which He stood. And He willingly drank that cup for every last one of His children. He took that punishment of God upon Himself. He took all of our sins, and He bore them not only, but He paid the price that was required. He made substitution for you and for me. He's our substitute. And the result then is this: death has been conquered. The reality of death has been conquered by Jesus Christ, who took that death and destroyed it, overcame it, fulfilled it for every last one of His children. So that your and my death as believers now is only a shadow. The reality is gone. Hell is gone. Judgment is gone. Death now becomes for us the passageway into everlasting glory. What is death for the child of God? It's a reflection of the glorious light of God's love, God's righteousness, God's goodness, as God enables us then to see the wonder of that love by which He translates us into glory and grants unto us the fullness of all light and life that is in Jesus Christ. Beloved, the substance of death is gone for everyone who is found in Christ. Only the shadow remains. And you do not need to be afraid of that shadow. What a wonderful comfort. What blessed encouragement. That shadow is due to the brilliant light of the love of God in Jesus Christ. So that we pass merely through the shadow. We don't experience the reality. We just have a faint reflection. Christ has so transformed death that we can express the boldness of 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55 through 57. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death is the passageway to glory for everyone who dies in Christ. That first of all, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Secondly, the comfort is found, for Thou art with me. This again, beloved, is the greatest comfort of the child of God. This is the comfort that Jesus Christ set forth to His disciples. Again and again, remember the one occasion. Jesus is in the boat with His disciples and a raging storm comes upon the Sea of Galilee. The disciples are filled with deep fear. Their lives are in jeopardy. They're afraid they're not going to be able to make it. In the midst of that storm, they're distraught. They're filled with fear. And Jesus, who's asleep, is woken up, and he says, "Fear not, for I am with you." He makes a command, "Peace be still." Everything is calm. He has full control over all the events of your life, all the events of my life. And he's in the boat with us. And you children remember what that's a picture of. The church, as she goes through this life, through that veil of tears, is like a boat in the midst of the raging world of sin and wrath. And as she finds herself in the midst of that boat, tossed to and fro, Jesus is with her. Her shepherd is watching over her. Beloved, Jesus is in the midst of the valleys with you. He knows the valley is necessary for you. He knows the particular valley that you need to cross through. And he's not leading you through a trial too great, not through a trial that he doesn't understand. He gives you the grace to bear of yourself, of ourselves. No, we can never stand. But he's the shepherd who's gone there before us. He's checked it out. He's been there. He's experienced it all. And now as he leads us, he does so in love as one who's with us, caring for us, sustaining us, strengthening us. And he's not only with us, next to us, he's in you. By the wonder of His Spirit. He's with us and in us, dwelling in us by His Holy Spirit. We look back and we're able to see His faithfulness through the trials of life. We're able to see how He guided us, how He was there. He was providing us strength. When we cried out to Him, we didn't know how we were going to make it through the course of a day. He was there. He was holding our hand. He was upholding us, and He was granting us the strength that we stood in need of. And we go forward knowing in His faithfulness, He will continue to care for me. He will not let me go. I am safe in Him. Storms may break out. Predators may attack. The devil may come upon us in all of his fury. Rivers may rise and threaten to drown us. Fires may come in and threaten to burn us. My shepherd is with me. And my shepherd is faithful. David killed the bear that threatened his flock. He was able to kill the lion. God gave him incredible boldness in the midst of those challenges. David stood before Goliath, and he confronted Goliath with the name of Jehovah. Not fearful. This man was blaspheming God's name. God was with him. God was on his side. David killed Goliath. God protected Israel. David was able to fulfill God's command with regard to destroying all the enemies in the land of Canaan. A promise that God gave to Joshua. Finally fulfilled under David. As David, in his military might, was given by God the power and the ability to fight the Canaanites. But David was a sinner. He was a mere man. And we know the sins that David committed. They're given us in the Scriptures so that we know and we believe that David was just a sinful man. He fell into sins. He failed to preserve Israel as he should have and as he could have. He became proud. He numbered the people. And by numbering the people, demonstrated that he was putting his confidence, his trust in men. He was just a picture, just a type that had to fail of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our sinless shepherd, the shepherd that David himself looks up to, the shepherd that faced the devil and prevailed, the shepherd that overcame death and hell, the shepherd that rose again on the third day in order to declare victory over all the powers of sin and death. How much greater, beloved, Jesus Christ, your and my sinless shepherd, who knows the path that's necessary for us to follow. He knows the waters and the rivers that we need to cross. He's walked it before us. And now He's with us. And He encourages us in John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in Me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. And I am your Lord and Savior. I am your shepherd who has overcome the world. And I will lead you through the valley. I will lead you to glory, in safety, in security. Thou art with Me. Thirdly, Thy rod and Thy comfort, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. The shepherd wasn't able to take much with him as he would be away with his flock. But there are a few things that were of important use that he would take with. In the time of David, the shepherd would carry his rod and staff. The rod was almost an extension of his hand. He would hold that rod, and he would use that rod continually as an expression of his strength, his might, his authority. We could identify at least three ways that a shepherd would make use of that rod. First of all, he used that rod to count the sheep. He would hold that rod over his sheep, and as they would pass underneath it, he would count them. And with the rod, would take note of his sheep then, and would be able to know that all of them were present. Secondly, he would use his rod to prod the sheep and to direct them in the way that they were to go. Sometimes they were going too slow. They had to speed up a bit. He would prod them. He would poke them so that they would pick up their pace and so that they would continue down the pathway that he ordained. Finally, he would use that rod to protect and to preserve the sheep in the way of sheep that would go wayward. The rod had a crooked end on it so that he could reach out and he could snag a sheep and pull it back into the fold so that it wouldn't stray away from the shepherd and from the rest of the sheep. The idea of a rod is significant throughout Scripture. Repeatedly we read of that idea, the rod. Remember Moses, shepherd in the desert, having that rod. And he carries that rod before him to Pharaoh. And God uses that rod as a means of miracles and wonders, an expression of authority and might and power. The rod symbolized God's Word, God's power. Jehovah God, in His Word, guides and leads. How does He do so? Jehovah God uses that Word as that by which He assures us of His care. He holds the rod of His love above us, and He preserves and keeps us and assures us, "You are numbered among My sheep." The people of God are kept. They are preserved. I have engraven you on My palms. I will hold you close. Jeremiah 10, verse 16 expresses that God's people are called the rod of His inheritance. God takes special note of them. He cherishes them as those who from eternity He's chosen and will preserve in time. But secondly, God uses that rod also to prod us on. There are times we're lazy, times when we ought be more diligent, more faithful. Half-heartedly, we're going through life. God prods us with His Word. He works in us the fervency by which we worship with reverence, with zeal. That rod directs us in the way that we're to go as the Word shines as a light upon our pathway. And finally, God uses that Word at times to take hold of us and to admonish us and to bring us back to the fold, to bring us back to the way of obedience. We wander. But then He catches us with His Word, and He convicts us. He seeks us out, and He brings us to repentance and brings us back into the fold. What then is the confession of the child of God? I will fear no evil. Not there will be no evil. There's going to be evil. There will be that in our lives which we determine to be evil. Things that from our perspective we can't understand. And we can't fathom in any other way than that these things are evil. Great dread, great fear, great turmoil. And the greatest evil that we face again, from an earthly perspective, is death. But the confession of the child of God, the confession of the sheep is this: I will fear no evil. The great shepherd of the sheep, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was brought again from the dead, is the one who preserves me and who is with me. As Hebrews 13 verse 20 points out, he passed through death. Again, not just the shadow, the reality. And as he passed through death, he was able to survive. He lived. He went through that veil of the shadow of death. Not merely, but the reality of death, in order that he might show us the path of life. And the light that shines upon us is the glorious light of the love of God in Jesus Christ, by which he preserves and keeps us to all eternity. Therefore, the confession of the psalmist, and beloved, your and my confession is, I will not fear. Now, this is a deliberate, conscious confession. This is the wonder of faith. God works faith in your and my hearts, and that faith stands in the midst of evil, stands in the midst of trouble, and it clings to Christ as my good shepherd and the one who is faithful and true. It clings to God's word and to God's promises as that alone which are able to lead me and to guide me. Faith confesses Jehovah God is sovereign over all things, and he's my shepherd. He ruled every detail of my life, even the painful struggles of my life, for my good, in preparation for leading and guiding me through the valleys to the glory that awaits. He's sovereign in all things. He promises to work everything together for my good. And by faith, I believe that. I lay hold on his promise, and I trust that it is true. Therefore, the evil that I'm experiencing, the hardships through which I'm going, are from the hand of my Heavenly Father. They're ordained in love for my good. And therefore, rather than revolting, rather than being afraid, I cling to him and I trust him. And by faith, I lean on him and I look to him for the strength that he alone is able to give in order that I might persevere by his grace. Death has been conquered. There's something there that we can understand if we use an analogy. Some of us are extremely scared of spiders. Sometimes we're scared of wild dogs that are going to bite us. Or maybe we're scared of wild animals. What happens if you see a spider that's dead? Or you find now that dog that was always barking at you and threatening to bite you, it's now dead. The lion that would otherwise harm you, it's dead. It's lying there dead now. You can walk up to it. You can pull its legs off. You can pull its hair. You don't have to be afraid. You have complete control over this dead enemy. It was your enemy, now it's dead. Beloved, that's what Christ has done to death. Our Lord Jesus Christ has destroyed the power of death. Death as a raging, furious enemy seeking to destroy all men has been conquered. Christ defeated death on the cross. So that the cross was the death of death for all of God's children. And God's children, therefore, are able to triumph over death. We're not afraid. We can rise up above death. We need not be fearful because Jehovah God has conquered death in Jesus Christ. How could the martyrs give themselves willingly to the fire, even singing and praising God? They were given faith to believe. The power of death had been broken. Death had been overcome. Beloved, by grace, that's your and my confession. We confess that I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And belonging to Jesus Christ, I know my sin. I know my sinfulness. But I know something even more glorious. He died for me. He laid his life down in my place. And he works in me sorrow and repentance. And I turn from my sin and I cling to Christ. And I know death has been conquered. I am risen with Christ therefore I live. What a glorious confession, beloved. I will fear no evil. There is no evil in this life that can separate me from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Think of the glorious refrain at the conclusion of Romans 8. Nothing, absolutely nothing can separate me from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Finally, I walk. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I walk. As I looked at this verse, that phrase struck me as a powerful confession of the psalmist. What's our temptation in the midst of the valleys of life? Stay in bed. I don't want to get up. I don't want to do anything. Or make myself so busy that I don't have to think about anything. I can just be running to and fro, busy at work. I don't have to think about a thing. The psalmist, by the inspiration of the Spirit, rejects both extremes. To walk designates steady advance of one who knows the road, who knows the way, who resolves to follow the path by God's grace. He's not in a flurry. He's not running. He's not standing still saying, I don't dare go forward. I'm just going to keep to myself. I'm going to refrain from having any contact. I just want to stay in bed all day. He walks. By God's grace, he presses on with life. There's a calm composure that the child of God experiences by faith. And he's able to maintain in the midst of all the trials, all the struggles of this life. He goes forward by faith. His shepherd is leading and guiding him. The saint who's dying is not all in a flurry, running around as though he's alarmed. Nor is he trying to avoid that walk, standing still as though he can stop the progress of time and keep death ever from coming. No, the child of God presses on by faith. There are shadows, there are terrors, there are fears. The nights are dark, the nights are difficult. But he walks by God's grace. He walks by faith. He clings to his shepherd. And he believes that my shepherd is the one who is my sure support through the valley. And he will lead me through the valley, not only, but he will lead me to the glory that awaits. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, thou dost know our weakness. Thou dost know our sinfulness and depravity. Thou dost know the despair and the burdens and the struggles that we face. Sustain us by thy grace. As we look to thee, may we know the faithfulness of our shepherd. May we press on believing that death has been overcome, and that thou art the one who has comforted us by thy word and by thy spirit, granting unto us the strength that we stand in need of, that as we pass through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil, for thou art with us. Amen.